The Lord be with you. Okay, you weren't ready. I'll give that to you. You weren't ready. The Lord be with you. And also with you. Yes. What do we hope for when we say, or when we receive even, that blessing? When we say, the Lord be with you, what are you hoping for? What's the intention there? What's the desire? What's implied when we say, the Lord be with you? Are we hoping for prosperity? Are we hoping for success? Are we hoping that God will be with you in your sorrows and your troubles when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death? What are we hoping for? In today's reading from Genesis, at the beginning of that chapter and at the end of that chapter, we hear that quite often. It's emphasized for us quite a bit that the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And everything he did, the Lord was with Joseph. Yet, there's a tension to that. Because at the beginning of our reading, we find that Joseph has been sold into slavery. And not just that, but it was his own brothers that sold him into slavery. And these slavers took Joseph from his homeland of Israel all the way down into Egypt. He's a slave in a foreign country that he does not know, sold there by his brothers. Yet, we are reminded that the Lord is with Joseph. Joseph is a slave. And thankfully, he's probably a very good slave. And because the Lord is with Joseph, the Lord is blessing what Joseph is doing. And so Joseph rises pretty high in Potiphar's house, his master's house. Yet he's still a slave. But things quickly go from bad to worse in this story. Not only is he a slave, but Potiphar's wife, his master's wife, gets eyes for him. She tries to seduce him, tries to trap Joseph into committing adultery. But Joseph remains faithful to the Lord, even as a slave, far away from his homeland, far away from his father, his mother, and well, even his brothers. Joseph remains faithful to the God who is constantly and ever with him. He refuses to commit adultery, even though he easily could. He continues to lead a life that is worthy of the Lord. He refuses Potiphar's wife. And as we read in the story, Potiphar's wife then turns this on Joseph. She will not be denied. So she accuses Joseph falsely of rape. And Potiphar, when he comes home and he hears this accusation, throws Joseph promptly into prison. Things go from bad to worse. He's a slave, and then he's a prisoner accused of rape. Throughout his life, Joseph does the right thing. He leads a godly life. We even hear that the Lord is with Joseph. Yet, he's a slave. And yet, even as a top slave, he loses that position and he goes to prison. I used this passage this past Wednesday to teach the confirmation and youth group in Bible study. And when we got to this part in the text, I asked the kids, do you think Joseph felt like the Lord was with him? He's in prison. He's a slave. Do you think Joseph felt like the Lord was with him? And some of them answered yes, some answered no, and it's hard to know. Would you feel like the Lord was with you? There's a belief within American Christianity. And this belief, by the way, is prospered by some very popular pastors out there that I won't name names, but there's this belief within American Christianity that faithfulness to God automatically equals success. That it automatically equals health, it equals wealth, it equals prosperity, it equals success, it maybe even equals safety. But throughout scriptures, we see that just isn't true. Faithfulness to the Lord does not guarantee health. It does not guarantee wealth, success, or even safety in this life. In fact, for many people around the world, being obedient to God's will, being at the center of God's will, puts them in direct harm more than anything. I think of our Christian brothers and sisters who worship in places like China or North Korea, where if they are found out, they are in prison themselves. Or a Christian brother and sister who lives amongst Muslims, where it might be illegal to be a Christian. Being at the center of God's will, being faithful to the Lord, does not equal good times. Jesus never said that faith would promise us anything on this earth. In fact, he often quite did the opposite. He guaranteed difficulty. Our passage from Matthew tells us this. It kind of hints towards this. This passage from Matthew is from the Beatitudes, when Jesus is preaching on the Mount. And one of the Beatitudes, just before the one we read, Jesus says this: "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." And he doesn't say they're blessed because, well, then you're going to get a nice fancy house, or you're going to have lots of money, or you're going to find a great wife. He says, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." They're blessed, but not necessarily with something they're going to see in this life, on this world. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus goes on, "Blessed are you when others revile you and they persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account." Jesus doesn't say if they do this, he says when they do this. And he doesn't say again, "Blessed are you because if they do this to you, hey, you're going to do well. You're going to do well in life." No, he says again, "For your reward will be in heaven." Jesus doesn't promise prosperity. Rather, he suggests hardship. In fact, in the Gospels, the first time Jesus mentions the cross isn't his own cross. It's the one that you, as disciples of Jesus, must carry. "If you would follow me, take up your cross and come after me." As Christians, as followers of Christ in this world, we are often promised less than prosperity, less than success. We are promised burdens, weights, problems. Being a Christian doesn't mean that you will never get cancer. It doesn't mean that you'll never have to deal with the loss of a job or the loss of a loved one or difficulty or persecution. In fact, it doesn't guarantee any of that. But this passage from Joseph, though, reminds us that God has a plan, that he still watches out for us no matter what. Whenever we go through hardship, God is still with us. The Lord is still with you. And in the story of Joseph, we see how the Lord worked with Joseph. Especially as you read the rest of Genesis, you'll get an answer for why Joseph went through what he did and why the Lord chose to prosper him in his difficulties. As a slave, the Lord still prospered faithful Jacob or Joseph's work. Now, Joseph didn't become rich because of it. His masters did. And the same with the prison. Joseph didn't become rich in prison. The prison just ran better because Joseph was faithful and the Lord prospered his work. And if you were to read on into the rest of Genesis, you'll see Joseph rise to be essentially number two in all of Egypt. And the Lord does this so that through Joseph, the lives of many would be preserved and saved through a terrible famine that goes throughout the whole world. But at least on two occasions, when Joseph is reflecting on his life, he says something that is startling and frankly a little difficult to swallow. He'll look at the Lord and he'll tell his brothers that it was the Lord who caused these things in my life so that the Lord's work would come about the way the Lord wants it to. The Lord took these evils that happened in Joseph's life and he brought good out of them. He blessed and saved the lives of many through the sorrows of Joseph's life. The Lord had a plan for him to use his sorrows to preserve the lives of many. Just as he did the same with his son, Jesus Christ. Christ in his life went through sorrows. He went through temptations. He went through pains. He was betrayed by one of his closest friends, and he was beaten and stricken and put upon the cross. That through his suffering and his pain, through the evils done to him, God could orchestrate a fantastic good for you. That you might have your life preserved and saved, that you might be able to enjoy the blessings that Jesus told us about, that the kingdom of heaven might be yours, that the reward in heaven will be for you and be there for you. The Lord is, in fact, with you. Though it might not feel like it at times, though it might be one of those things where you just believe it with your head and your heart can't quite engage, the Lord is with you. And he is working in all the things that are in your life. As Romans 8:28 tells us, we know that God is always at work for the good of everyone who loves him. God can take what is sorrowful and painful and bring beauty out of it. We know that God is always at work for the good of everyone who loves him. They are the ones God has chosen for his purpose. The Lord is with us in good times and in bad. He will make use of all of it, just as he did for his own son, Jesus Christ, for you. Let us pray. Gracious and heavenly Father, give us the faith to believe, to trust in you, that you are in fact with us. Help us to be faithful in the good times and in the bad. To trust in you, to know that whatever sorrows we might have in our lives, that you can take and create beauty and good out of it. That you have a plan, that you have a purpose that sometimes we just cannot see. Help us, O Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen.